This week's shir is sponsored by Rabbi Shua Tella, Lezeich HaNishmas, Rabbi Motcha Ben Shloima. The emesis will discuss this week the topic of a shadchan, when somebody uses a shadchan, paying the shadchan. I was recently in Antwerp, and I met a certain person there who told me that he has two daughters that are both about 27 years old. They're twins. They're very successful. And they both work here for a law firm. And he told me that everything is going very well in their lives, but they need to do a shidduch. He said to me, he spoke to a shadchan here in Brooklyn, who said to him he'll definitely see if he can find a shidduch for them. However, for each of the girls, shadchunus is going to be $50,000. And therefore, for the two together, the shadchunus is going to be $100,000 to do these shidduchim. And he can guarantee him that he's definitely going to be able to find for them a shidduch. I don't know how a shadchan can guarantee... I'll get to that in a second. So I said to him, how come it's such a high price? So the shadchan said to him, look, the going rate here in New York, everybody gives between $20,000 and $25,000 for a shidduch. That was interesting to hear that. He said, however, you're a special case. You're out of town, so the fee for you is $50,000. So I said to him, sounds to me like you should commit yourself and worry about the money later, because I'll get to it soon in Halacha. The Pashtas is not chayef to pay this kind of money. So he said to me, there's one problem. The Shatran says he wants on each of the girls $20,000 up front. So I asked him if there's a refund, you know, if he doesn't do the shidduch. He says, no. He says, just for trying this $20,000. But in any event... In any event, all you are becoming shadchanim overnight. But in any event, I'll get to it soon. It's important to discuss in halacha if somebody commits himself to a shadchan, what the halachas actually are. Now the emphasis is, before I start the shir, is a hakdama I would like to make. And that's in Choshen Mishpat, we have a halacha that doesn't exist in the other three halachim of Shulchan Aruch. And that is that in Choshen Mishpat is a halacha called Kimli. What does Kimli mean? Kimli means that if you and somebody else have a dispute, and you are the muchzik, the money is sitting in your pocket. So the halacha is hamoitzi mechaveiroi olav lehevi haraya. When I try to take money out from you, to take money away from you, I have to prove that the money belongs to me. And if there's a machloikis hapoiskim in Shulchan Aruch, and one poiskim says like you, and one poiskim says like me, even if more poiskim say like me than say like you, the halacha is that you don't have to pay me, because the halacha is kimli. You can say, I hold like those shittas. Now, the emesis, before we make any light of this topic, to pay a shadchan is something which is extremely important. There are certain svarim that people came to the stipler with certain problems, and the stipler would say to them, did you pay your shadchan? And there was once a person that said the shadchan was a family member, so I don't have to pay. So the stipler said, over in the name of Chazanish, in the Chazanish, pay your shadchan and you won't have certain problems. There were different issues that the Chazanish attributed to a person not having paid his shadchan. And I even saw a story that the Chaim Knievsky once did a shidduch for somebody, a family member, and he went and he took shadchanis and then he immediately returned it. So he didn't really want to take shadchanis, but he didn't want it to be that it should be that he didn't take shadchanis, so therefore he returned it immediately. And it's a poiskim right that when you do a shidduch for somebody in your own family, you could assume that somebody in your own family, you did it as a toiva. However, the minig is that even a person in your own family, the minig is you pay shadchanis to everybody. The only exception that's brought on is when a child makes a shidduch for his own sibling. So a child for his parents in certain places is accepted that they do it for free and they don't pay their own child. But afal pekein, I want to be ma'ir that if a person does a shidduch, let's say for his sibling, and when the person does a shidduch for his own sibling, so his parents don't have to pay him. But just because his parents don't have to pay him, that doesn't patah the other side. The other side is still mechuyif to pay him. Even if a person says, look, I went and I did this for my own family for free, free, it does not patter the other side. But in most cases, we are noyik to pay shadchanis. There's a levush motchin simni yiralf that even says that there were certain mekaymes that if a person wouldn't pay the shadchin, the mesalik kedushin would not be mesalik kedushin, and he would hold up the chasana till the shadchin was actually paid. I've been by many chasanas that have been delayed for many different reasons, but this reason, I've never yet been to a chasana which has been delayed for this reason. Now, let's go back a step. We're all talking about shadchanis. Who told you that if a shadchan does something for another person, that you have to pay this person? Who says that the shadchanis is something that you have to actually pay for? The Emes says there's a Ramon Choshen Mishpat. The Ramon says that any person that did a favor for another person, a pu'ula for another person, obviously it's a marketable pu'ula that you usually pay for. You can't say to the person, you did it for me as a favor, even if you did not discuss numbers beforehand, which means you and a certain person is a broker for you. He brokers for you a house. A certain person is a broker for you. He brokers to you a shidduch, a sarsir, or a shadchin. You cannot say what you did for me is for free. You're mechuyif to pay this person, even if no numbers were discussed beforehand. Now, where does this halacha come from? So if you take a look in Choshen Mishpat and Simon Pei Zayin, Simalama test is a Ramah that he brings down as a Mafush Sugyan in Bav Metziah Daf Kuf Aleph. The Gemara brings down Hayoyed Lachotze Chaveir Vehishbichoy. If somebody goes into my property while I'm away and he goes and he fixes something on the outside of my house, he does my gardening, a ganan, the Gemara discusses. The halacha is I am chuyif to pay him. And when somebody goes and his money ends up in my pocket, his labor, by fixing my item, so the halacha is that I have to pay this person. Now there are certain chilukim in halacha. Number one, is it a sada ha-sialita or is it a sada she'ena sialita? Which means, is it the derech, is it something that I actually wanted to happen? Now the only difference between a sada ha-sialita and a ena sialita is that if the yad ha-yoyer is al-yoyna or not. That's the only difference, which means that you have to pay if the amount that was paid is, if the expenses are more than the shvach, or the shvach are more than the expenses, but a minimal amount you're always mechuyev to pay. But if you are a yored b'shus means where do we say that in a sodah asielita, which means something which is the derech that people would want you to do, then you have to pay the full amount. Now a person is clearly a sodah asielita because every person has to get married, and therefore every person needs this service of a shadchan. Therefore you can't say that I didn't want your service, and therefore every person is mechuyev to pay for this service. However, the only thing which is brought down is I can always tie in the back and say that you went and you did my gardening, I needed the gardening done, but I could always have found a cheaper gardener. So you mechuyev to pay like the cheaper gardener. So therefore, if you have an affinity, what's that?
Done the service yourself.
And a chanami. But lemaisa, the service was done for you. You said like a shidduch made in heaven. You could have gone and found the shidduch yourself, huh? So first of all, maybe that's not, the appropriate way to do it. That's number one. And secondly, soif kol soif, when you buy a house. So what are you going to say? I bought the house, the other person was my broker. I could have found it for free. Soif kol soif, he provides you the service of being a broker. So you're mechuyif to pay him. The only thing you can say is, I would have found myself a cheaper broker. So you have, if in a city, let's say, there's a going rate for shadchanis, like let's say over here, for the average person, the going rate is somewhere between $1,500 and $1,800. So you can say that I would have found myself a shadchan for $1,500. So you could have paid the lower amount. But the higher amount, you're not mechuyev to pay. This is the basic introduction to the topic. Now, of course, it makes no difference. Yes, yeah? Say that again, what?
If someone asks someone to be a shadchan, mm-hmm. They already knew the girl before.
That's very common. People shtel into a shadchan. Very common thing. Doesn't matter. There still is the service still exists.
There's no service because
he's a shadchan. What? We're going to get to that soon. Yuri, it's a very good question. I'll discuss it soon. It's not, what is the service of a shadchan? That's the next question. What is the service of a shadchan? Contrary to popular belief, I'll discuss it soon, the service of a shadchan is not so much the mentioning of the name. That's the most minor part of the service. The real service of the shadchan is the person that stands there and discusses it and puts the whole thing together and pushes. As a matter of fact, we have to discuss soon what happens when there's two shadchanim. And this one shidduch starts the shidduch, and one shidduch guy pushes, one person mentions the name, and one person actually pushes the shidduch through. Who gets the shadchanus? I'm going to discuss it later in the shir. That's a very important point, but let's wait for a little bit later. Now, as I was saying, it doesn't matter if the shidduch was if the person is an expert chatchan or not, you have to pay him regardless. The place can discuss that if a person does a service for you, even if he's not a miktsoi, it's not his specialty. And the only thing is, if a person said to you up front that I'm going to do the shidduch for you for free, then he can't come back to you for money. That's one thing is 100% clear. If he said to you, shal shuvet chit hashoni simen beis and gimel, if a person said to you clearly he's going to do it for free, then you're not mechuyev to pay the person's money. We discussed already regarding family members where that stands. I just want to make one ha'orah which I saw in certain svarim, and that is that if, let's say, you turn to the shadchan and you say to the shadchan, I would like that you should get for me a shidduch. So then it could be you have to pay him the amount of that he actually charges. Because let's say you go to a certain electrician and you say to the electrician, I would like you to do some work in my house for me. So he does the work, you don't ask him how much do you take. So afterwards you say to him, I want to pay you like a cheaper electrician. So mehecha teisu, you have a right to pay that lower amount. L'chor, you should pay the higher amount. Now, let's talk about that shaila let's talk about that shaila which we discussed in the beginning. In the beginning, we discussed what happens if you read a shidduch and the person says to you, I want to have $100,000 from you, and you say to the person, yeah, no problem, I'll give you any amount of money that you actually like. So In Simon Reish Samach Dalet, Siv Zayin, this is discussed, and the Aloch is brought down the Ramah as follows. If a person runs away from jail, which means he runs away from the Beis HaAsurim, and as he runs away from the Beis HaAsurim, he sees over there a person that has a ferry. And the person that has the ferry, he says to him, do me a favor, give me a ride to the other side. He's on an island, and he says, give me a ride to the other side of the water. So the person says, listen, I'm a little busy now, I don't have time to give you a ride. He knows that if he's not going to get the ride, what's going to happen is he's going to be in tremendous trouble. They're going to capture him and put him back into jail. So it's mamash mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. So he says to the person, how much money do you want to give me the ride? So it's a taxi ride in the boat that usually he charges $25 from you. He says, I want from you $100,000 to take you to the other side of the water. So he says to him, absolutely, take the money, no problem, I'll give you $100,000. He takes him to the other side of the water, and the Ramah says afterwards he gets off and he gives him $25. Why? Because he said to him, mishatani bach, I was joking around with you. So now there's a major machlokes in the Rishonim when you can say Mishat HaNibach, when you can't say Mishat HaNibach. A lot of Rishonim bring down that the only time you can say Mishat HaNibach is by a Dova Mitzvah. And what is included as a Dova Mitzvah? A Dova Mitzvah is either this case of Pidyon Shvuyim or by a Shavas Aveda. You have a certain Shavas Aveda you want someone to help you with, you offer him a large sum of money, he does it for you, he's mechuyev to do it for you anyways, also a Shavas Aveda, there you can say Mishat HaNibach. But by a case that's not a Dova Mitzvah, a lot of Rishonim hold, then you can't say Mishat HaNibach, and you have to pay what you actually committed yourself to. If you take a look there on the spot in Shulchan Aruch, there's a Shach, there's a Sma, there's a Nesivis, there's a major discussion, is Shadchanis a Dova Shal Mitzvah or not? The Shach seems to say yes, the Nesivis says Shadchanis is not considered a Dova Shal Mitzvah. There is a Mitzvah to it's one of the important midas to do, but you cannot call it mamish a dov of mitzvah like a pidyon shvuyim or a shavas aveda. Therefore, there's a major machlokes hapoiskim if you could say mishat hanibach by shadchanis or not. However, the nesivus has a achra that when this, as long as the amount that he promised him was not greater than a shtus, greater than a sixth or 16%, not more than the shir oino, it says in the nesivus there on the spot that he will have to pay him. So therefore, first, firstly, Shitas HaNesivus says that if you went and you gave him a promise for a very large sum of money, but the amount of money is not more than 16% greater than the going grade, you're mechuyev to pay. The Nesivus has another Eitzah, the Nesivus there in Sivkot and Yutes and the Chidushim, that if you make a kinyan, then the Nesivus also writes you have to pay him the larger amount of money, whatever it is. Also, it's a machloikis. That's the Shitas HaNesivus. Now, others say that another exception would be, and one thing is clothed in the Nesivus, says that that case, when you give a down payment, that then for sure you cannot get your down payment, because then the other person becomes the muhsik on the money. And also, how could you say mashatani bok? You paid the money, so there's no joke involved at all. There's another interesting sheet in the Nesivos, is that it's going to depend. If it's a city that has a set price, then you're not mechuyif to give the number which is greater. If you're in a city which there is no dover katzer for shatcholis, there's no going rate. In New York and Pashas, there is a pretty much a going rate, depending on the type of person. But if there is no going rate whatsoever, so then, according to the Nesivos, you can promise any amount of money. And Chehenev Chehenev, there are many places. I'll just mention one more. The Ksois says a very interesting thing. The Ksois and Sivkot and Dalet on the spot says, he's Machadish, that if you made a shvur or a neder that you're going to pay him the money, so the Ksois is Machadish, then you have to pay any amount of money. Comes along the Ksois and he says a beautiful Chiddush. How about if the Shatchin is an Oraman, a very poor person, and you promise to him the money, then you also mechuyif to give it to him? Why? Because we know that when you give money to a poor person and you promise it, it becomes like a neder l'tzedakah. So those are the exceptions to the rule. But basically speaking, just to summarize, it's a difficult question. I just went and put down the basic shitas here. There are many shitas that say that if it's more than a yinah, you're not mechuyif to pay, unless that's the shitas haramah and the shitas hanasivis, unless it's with, and the Shach says so too, unless it's with one of these exceptions that I mentioned. Now, you want to mention? Oh, that's a full share on its own. What exactly a check is considered? What's that? Check, it's not so. The Pashas, you can't say by a check that's Meshatani Boch. But what a check is in Halacha will take a full shear of its own. And maybe in one shear we can really figure out what a check actually is. It's a mamrin, it's a very, very long discussion. What exactly. There used to be a bearer's note. There were things in the Pesachim that were similar to checks. But it's a very complicated question. I can't answer it right now. Going right to Shatchanis, I asked around the different Rabbonim. I've been told. What's that? Shafsi, you should know that Shafsi doesn't take money. No? I was kidding around with Shafsi. No, Shafsi went. It's very nice what he did. He took all the money that came in for the Shatchanis and he wrote a Sefer Torah with it, which is almost finished. Wow. Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, Shafsi took money, but he put it all towards the Sefer Torah, and he told me this Shabbos, after I spoke this Shabbos, that the Sefer Torah is almost ready. That's what he thought. Huh? Oh, he's out there, over there. So anyways, now, what's the actual rate for Shatchanis today? I spoke to certain Rabbonim who told me that Bepashtis, for the average person, it's approximately $1,500 for an average shidduch. I think it's per side. That's what I would think. They also told me, and this I'm going to get to it soon, that the minig is, what? It varies. I'm going to discuss soon. There are certain chilukim in the halacha. I'm going to discuss where it's a little bit different, where it's more. If a person is very wealthy, the number obviously goes up. And also, we'll discuss soon that if a person mentioned a name to you, and therefore he started the shidduch, where he's considered more of a minor shatchin, the minig is to give him two. And there they told me that, the rabbanim told me that the number is approximately $500. That's $500 for a minor shatchin, $1,500 usually. But again, this can vary, and obviously it varies. It varies, by the way, from community to community. Too. In certain circles, the place can bring down that there were different menhagim. Yeah?
Is it, is an avelos?
Right.
Something, was that only for a gift?
No, it's not a gift. Shatchanis is money that they're entitled to. It's a brokerage fee. It doesn't matter that.
Say, if you're giving a gift instead of money to Yishakim, let's say it's a $1,500 gift.
And a chanami, so that is the.
Avelos, you're still a lot of gift?
Oh.
People say not.
Why? Because it's a gift. I don't sit and give them money and finish. I mean, the fact that you took the money and you gave it as shavakes, I mean, you can say that the gift is more exciting for them. I think fakir, they're more excited to get money. So I don't see it. I don't think. I'll have to look into it, but I don't see that should be a specific problem. Now, there are certain places, like you discussed, that if a person has a specific chisorin, so the minig is that those kinds of shiduchim are worth more money. If a person limps or something of that sort, so then they take that kind of shidduch, and from that side, not from both sides, that side is mechuyev to give more money. It's a very famous story that the Heilige Sons of Rav used would limp. It's a double yadua. He had a problem with one of his legs. And they say over that his wife, when he met him, did not want to do the shidduch. Which one? You're right. The Sanhedrin got married four times. But But the story that they say over was that the Sanhedrin basically explained to her that in Shemayim, before the two of them were about to come down to this world, the gezeir was that she was the one that was supposed to limp, and he went and he was mekabel on himself, right? And then afterwards. The shidduch actually happened for this reason. Listen, the Sanz Rav who was the God Lador in Galicia and in Poland, that region was a handicapped person, which is a palinuri. I mean, he limped and he was able to accomplish all of that in his lifetime. But there's also another thing which is brought down in the Poskim, and that is that if somebody does a shidduch that takes Chochma Yisera, there's such a lashon brought down in the Poskim, that Chachma Yisera means that it's a shidduch that needed a tremendous amount of art and skill to be able to put together. It's a chiddush, but I'll tell you what where they're basing it on. They're basing it on because there's a Ramah that says over there, when a person takes money for a pa'ula that he accomplished. So the Ramah said that if a person has a certain specialty, a moir diga chachma, that he knows how to do this, he's entitled to make a large sum of money for his specialty. And he gives two examples, Ramo. One is hashbos shadim. One is that if a person, you know, they have these chachams that know how to remove dibbik or shade from a person, so these people who do that are entitled to take a very large sum of money because they have a chachma yisera. Another example that they give is a certain that understands a specific type of refuah, how to cure a certain illness. So he also is allowed to take a large sum of money for this tremendous chokhmah that he knows how to do. Now let's discuss for a few seconds how much do you pay the shadchan? And very often you have two shadchanim. So now what happens is this, there is a machlokes in the poskim. The poskim call it the maschil and the goymer. The maschil means the person that gave the name to you. The goymer means the person that completed the shidduch. And sometimes the poskim discuss that there are three people. There's the maschil, there's the emtsoi, and there is the goymer. There's a person that started the shidduch, there's a person that kept the shidduch going in the middle, and then there's a person that actually completed the shidduch. Now there's a very important point which I want to mention to you from a Tshuvas Noid Behuda. And the Noid Behuda says, how come is it when I come up with a moridic idea, I have a patent, and I go and once I have the idea, all royalties belong to me automatically. So the Noid Behuda says that you have to understand one thing, and that is that a shidduch is very different than a patent. The Noid Behuda says this, and he says the following reason. I mean, the Noid Behuda even speaks about, there's a very famous Ramah. The Ramah says that if I bring somebody into your house and just to buy your house, and after I bring the person into your house to buy your house, you take a look at this person and you say, listen, I'm ready to sell my house to you, but you honestly, I don't like you, so therefore I'm not selling to you my house. So what happens is, afterwards, the person goes and behind the broker's back sells the house to somebody else, or sells the house to this person. So the Ramah says 100%, but it was all because of the broker. The Ramah says you have to pay the broker every last penny if you went behind the broker and you sold it to one of his connections. Why? Because the Ramah says, think about it, what chachmah, and I do the rice in the shuvah, what chachmah is there in selling a house? Absolutely nothing. The house is the same house for this person or for that person. You went and you made an excuse why you don't want to give the house through the broker. Zog the Noid Behuda, but when it comes to a shidduch, that's absolutely not correct. You can have a shidduch, they can meet each other, they can go out a whole bunch of times, and as long as there's no makeh bepatish, even if there's one thing missing to complete the shidduch, then the shidduch will not happen. So the person that suggested the shidduch, be'etzem, is not really worth that much, because the shidduch doesn't happen until the shidduch actually is completed. Therefore, the Paiskim discuss, when it comes to shidduchim, they split it up in thirds. That's maschil, emtsoi, and goyma. Now, there's a machloikis, if you look in the minig of the different kehilas, and if you take a look in there's a pischet shuvin, simen kuf pehesiv, cotton gimel, that has an arichis of all the minhag minhagim of the different kehilas. There's a lot of marmakaymas there. There were two minhagim. Certain places, the maschil received a half, and the goymer received a half. Certain places, it was 50-50. That whoever started the shidduch got 50%, and whoever completed the shidduch got 50%. But in many places, the way it worked was that whoever, and this is bepashtus more than minig, that whoever starts the shidduch gets a third. And whoever completes the shidduch and pushes it through gets two-thirds. Therefore, to answer your question, Yuri, if you approach somebody and you say to him, I have this and this name, do the shidduch. And then afterwards, they don't say anything to you, they start to go out using a totally different shatchan. You get a third of the shatchanis, the other person gets two-thirds of the shatchanis. Now, the Noyd Yehuda discusses an even more interesting case. The case the Noyd Yehuda brings down is, how about if you read a shidduch, and halfway through the reading of the shidduch, you realize that the shatchan is no good. He doesn't return the calls on time, he's not on top of it. Are you allowed on your own to make a decision to drop the broker and use a different broker, which is something that by a house you're not allowed to do? And the Noyd Yehuda says, absolutely yes, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to use a different person to start, a different person to end. Obviously, the Dayanim have to decide the compensation each person is entitled to amongst the way, but 100%, al pi halacha, you're allowed to do it. Now, but very often, one second, you have a separate shatchan for each side. So then, in that type of case, you can have a case where literally you're breaking it up a third for the two maschilim, so it becomes a sixth, right? And then you have the regular shatchanim each getting two-thirds, and each side has their obligation to their own party in order to do that. Now obviously when you're changing the shatchan, the Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be in order to make things better. But not if you're doing the story stamazoi to change because you don't like the shatchan, that is a whole different story. You wanted to mention something?
Same way like you said with the networking, was it like the realtor, right?
Uh-huh.
So what about if
yes, I wanted to mention that. I'm going to get that soon. There's a shuv in the Chit HaShoni. I'm going to mention that exactly that case soon. Now, there's a shuv in the Chit HaShoni first. I want to mention the following story he brings down. He says, a person went and wrote a letter to a person in another town, and he says to him, I want you should go, and I have a perfect shidduch for your sister who is an almana. He gets there to this, the letter gets to him, he goes and he tells his sister-in-law, I have a shidduch for your sister-in-law. He mentions the shidduch to his sister-in-law, and what happens? The shidduch actually happens. Now, the person that sent the letter says, hey, excuse me, I'm the shatchan. The person that read the shidduch says, excuse me, I am the shatchan. So the Chit HaShoni in Siman Gimel, he goes back and forth and he says as follows. He says, first of all, he discusses and he says that the pashtis, the almana has no obligation to the person that sent the letter. How come? Because we have a concept in halacha, lav bal dvarim didiyat. But more than that, the almana is a very simple taina. The almana was sitting in her house, somebody came to her one day and read her a shidduch. Does she know that that person ever existed, the person that wrote the letter? No. So how could you expect to be a shatchin in a case where all you did was you wrote a letter to a certain person? What shaychas does the almana have to you? Now, how about this person? Does he have to give back some of the money to the person that suggested it? So the Chit HaShoni writes a very interesting point. He says, Bepash is not. However, he says you should look very well into the ksav, into the way the letter is written. If he writes a letter and says, I have a perfect shidduch for your sister-in-law, here's this name, go read the shidduch, then for sure he's out. If on the other hand, he went and he retained the right, in other words, he said to him, this is the name that I'm giving you, will you help me in doing this shidduch? Then he sort of retained the right, and it could be that he is entitled to get a certain amount of money from it. I mean, the emissary in brokerage fees, a lot of times there are brokers that go and they make you sign that once they show you a house, you can't go with anybody else, and all these different type of agreements. So there are some shatchanim, al pi halacha, technically a shatchan can go, and when he reads you a shidduch, tell you, I'm reading you the shidduch on condition that you don't pass on the name, because this is my property, this name. And a chanami, I mean, he could technically do it, he wouldn't have too good of a reputation, but he can technically go and do this type of thing. Now there's another tshuva in the Avodas HaGeshini. The Avodas HaGeshini writes as follows. He says there was a certain woman who was an almana, and afterwards she got married, and usually al pi halacha you're supposed to pay. There's a machlokes, but usually the minig is b'zman hazeh that we pay shatchanis by the time the shidduch happens. We don't wait for nesuyin. For the shidduch, we pay shadchanas immediately, right away. So he brings down the following story. There's a certain woman that got married, an almana, and she went and she took all her money and she gave it over to her husband, like a woman does when she gets married, b'derech klal. And afterwards, but she never ended up paying the shadchan. Now the husband paid the shadchan already. Now the zokti avodah sagashini and simen nun, the shadchan came after the husband and said, you have to pay me your wife's shear. So he says, how come I have to pay my wife's shear? So he says very simply, because I went after your wife now for the money. What does she say to me? I have no money anymore, because kol mashakanzi shakana baila. You have your wife's money. Your wife's money really belongs to me. So the Avodah Sagashini paskins that Bepashtis, he's right. I mean, he goes through, also gives us an issue of nemanasanat, but he goes through at the end of Bepashtis, it's a proper taina, even though the husband's usually not mechuyif to pay the wife's responsibilities, only if it's in karka, but metal lamnat, lamaisa shuvas hagoinim, that says that we do it p'derech klal. But lamaisa, I want to bring out that there's a mashdam that says in Simon Reish Lamed, he disagrees. The mashdam says that soif kol soif, if he should have paid beforehand, so you can't be mechayiv the husband, because the husband sort of took the money adat and not to pay. But the pashas, most of the paiskim say that in this kind of cases, you have to actually pay. Now, if you have a tviya for shatchonis, who actually owes the money? So people are accustomed to imagine that a father and mother are the ones that have to pay shatchonis. Well, how come the father and mother have to pay shatchonis? Maybe it's the actual chosen kala have to pay shatchonis. Now, technically speaking, it's true. The chosen kala have to pay the shatchonis themselves. However, there's a tshuva avanez and chashamish with simel lamed vav that says that the minig is, in general, that the parents are the ones that pay the shatchonis. Now, what happens? Let's get to you this other case. A person goes and reads a shidduch to his friend. After he reads the shidduch to his friend realizes that this shidduch is not for me. He goes out with the girl and he realizes the shidduch is not for him. So what does the person do? He goes and he reads the shidduch to another friend of his, and that shidduch actually happens. Is there any obligation to the first shatchin that gave him the name? So there, absolutely not, because it would be ein l'davar soif. Every shidduch that would ever happen, there would be lines and lines of people who knew these people from birth, and they would all be tevei of the money. So obviously that's not the case. But however, I just wanted just to summarize a little bit. In a case when a person, there's a different question that the place can talk about, and that question is, what happens if a person read a shidduch to you a year ago? And the person read a shidduch a year ago and he pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And then you decided you don't want to do the shidduch. A year later, somebody else reads the shidduch. And now you're, number one, you're a year older. Chaim, that's what you wanted to mention, right? Number one, you're a year older. So therefore, since you're a year older, you're willing to let go on certain things. And number two, now that another person's mentioning it, another person's mentioning it, so the shidduch is definitely a good shidduch. But that person's original mentioning of the shidduch helped out to convince you to do the shidduch. So the pashtus, you should give a certain amount of money, a lesser amount of money. I said like a $500 gift or something. What's that? And then the second person.
A year later, you know.
A certain amount. You settled or you saw the light? Or she settled, I don't know. Or she settled, I don't know. Huh? give credit where credit's due. And a chanami, huh? Now, I just want to go through another few halachas, and that is that what happens with it, that number one, in our Chaim Simon Shevav, it says that even though Shidduchim Bepashtis is a shtickle of a business, we're allowed to do Shidduchim even on Shabbos, okay? And it says that the only thing which you shouldn't discuss on Shabbos is the amount of money that you're going to make for the shidduch. That you shouldn't discuss on Shabbos, because that's usually not a tzorich for the shidduch. Once again, I'm just going to mention those another few points, then I'll take it. I'll almost finish the shir. And then, besides that, the awesome place that Amata Taka to talk in Yoni Mamanis, if the Mamanis is to make the shidduch. In other words, how much are you giving? And it happens to be, it's very interesting. You look in the old Svarim, in certain places, the amount of the shatchonis was not the way it's accustomed today to be a set fee based on the person, but rather it was a percentage of the nadin. Anywhere between 1% and 4% per side, depending on the place that they actually were. Just want to bring out two more points, and that is as a behetav in Yerideus Simon Beis Sifkot and Tezvov that says that you should not read Shiduchim to Goyim. So having a matchmaking business doesn't seem to be that good of an idea. And there's a tshuva in Meshev Dover Chelik Beis Simon Lamed Beis that discusses a very interesting question. How about if you want to read a Shiduch to a person that you know is not Erlich, and you know, for example, they're not going to keep Taras HaMashpochas. So what's going to happen is that in essence, by you reading this Shidduch, you're being Oivan Lufna evenly sitting Michshul. That's an issue. So there's a very interesting Shuvah in the Meshev Dov. He discusses that we know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the only Issa of Lufna evenly sitting Michshul is where it's not Treyiver Denahara, Midaraisa, which means that if the person, Treyiver Denahara means you're giving a cup of wine to a Nazir. If the Nazir can take the wine himself, the only over misailat va'averi, not over, it's only midrabban, not midaraisa. If it's treyev denahar, which means you're on two other sides of the ocean, of the river, and you're passing the wine over, then you're over lefneiv deraisa. So he says, you can't papasha say it's treyev denahar, because a person can go and get married and find his own shidduch. However, it's misailat va'averi. Now, on misailat va'averi, we paskin that if you're doing it as a favor, as a favor, it's also to be Messiah personal Dva Avera. But if you're doing this case for Panosa, then it's going to be Mutter. So you have here a case in Shatchanes where if you're doing it for free, it's going to be also to do the Shidduch, and if you're taking money, it's Mutter. Ramosha in the Igros Maisha discusses a Rav, that's a Rav in such a community, and he has to do Siddi Kedushin for someone who's not going to be Elch afterwards. So he says the same thing. If that's his Panosa, and the Rav usually used to get money for Siddi Kedushin, then Reb Moshe is Mater. Even if that's his panosa in the shul, so enachanam, it's not called doing it for free. There's one more topic which we're not going to have time to cover today, but that's for a different time possibly. There's a whole discussion in the Paiskim when you have Shidduchim that happen in different cities. And the going rates in one city is one way, and the going rate in another city is the other way. So how do you figure out that type of question when you have Shidduchim that are coming from two different cities? That's something we'll talk about a different time. Okay.